thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Sidekick, where we delve into ancient societies, the ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic.
Hi, thanks once again for coming to the Skeptic Psychic. I'm, of course, your host, Richard Gregg. And with me today, it's a smart, funny, beautiful, and very kind, considerate, wonderful sister that I love so much, Kimber Rodriguez.
Hey, how's it going?
Going fine. I'm recording from my secret bunker somewhere in Roswell, New Mexico as of today.
Oh, and how was the move to Roswell?
Long.
I can imagine. It's coming down from Washington State to Roswell?
Yes, somewhere in Washington State.
Somewhere out there.
Right.
So today we're very fortunate to have an amazing guest. Very honored that her publicist reached out to us and thought that we were important enough for her to join us tonight. We want to go ahead and welcome Miss Patty Negri with us this evening. How are you doing tonight?
I am great. Thank you guys so much for having me on. Yes, of course you're important enough. And Roswell, oh my God, from Washington to Roswell.
Yes, ma'am.
That's pretty cool. That's awesome. So yeah, thank you guys for having me on.
Yes, definitely. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself for our listeners who haven't heard of you?
Okay. I'm an LA native. I live in Hollywood. I was born with the gift of sight. I was talking to spirit since I could talk, literally 3-4 years old. I knew, almost cliche, the person in the closet or under the bed weren't imaginary friends. They were real friends that I could get information to. Mm-hmm. I would be in the backyard knowing what herbs to pick and put in my mom's wallet to give her more money. It's just kind of in me. Wow. Always obsessed with the other side. Did my first seance at 7 or 8, realized I didn't know dead people, but went in suburban hallway with no windows, stuffed towels under the doors, and was able to call in spirits. And then, therefore, being in the middle of Los Angeles and Hollywood, even though I've tried to do lots of other things, this has always kind of turned into my calling. So I've been on working with Zach Bagans and the guys on Ghost Adventures for 6 years now. Since 2015, I worked with a whole lot of other shows, but that's one of them that people watch.
Right.
I work with a lot of YouTubers too, TFIL. I have a private practice. I have a school called University Magicus, where I teach psychic arts, mediumship, magic, witchcraft, all positive, but very esoteric teachings.
Quick question. I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you spell it with the C or the K?
Both. Magicus, University Magicus, Magicus, to show that we're not getting rabbit out of the hat or tar tripes. Right. We're doing the real magic. Yeah. Okay. So we just launched this actually a few months ago, and we're doing really well. Great teachers besides myself and my partner. And I have a network now called paraflix.com. It's like all paranormal Netflix. And that launched this year. So I don't sleep much. No, it's all good. And I've been touring. I've been gone every week for the last 9 weeks now. So it's good. I talk to dead people and work with people one-on-one and wiener wrangle.
I actually checked out the Paraflix the other day, and it looks like you've got some great talent on there.
We do. It's stuff you won't see anywhere else. I mean, we'll bring in films, amazing films, and music videos, education, spirituality. But if you like regular paranormal TV stuff, you're not going to see on Discovery Plus and Netflix and all those other channels, because there's some great stuff out there. So yeah, yes, if you're into that sort of thing, check it out.
Oh, definitely.
It's cheap.
It's yes. Fun. Yeah. We actually were introduced very young ourselves. Our mother is very much psychic, and I can remember being 3 or 4 years old, sitting at her feet, listening to her stories and just becoming obsessed with the paranormal, trying to do what I thought was ghost hunting before I even knew what there was ghost hunting. Back when I was in elementary school, these places that people would move in and move out real quickly, me and my friends would kind of try to find out if it was haunted, and that's why they were moving out. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
And Richard also started out very young. He also has been able to see and feel things since he was a child.
I didn't really think of them as friends, more or less as nightmares. I'm sorry to say, I think my gift is more of a curse than it is anything else. And at the age of 50 right now, I'm trying to understand my gift.
All right. Well, you should sit in on one of my classes because you have complete control. You don't have to bring in the negative ever. I kind of was born knowing that. So I've been safe. I will, you know, channel serial killers and know that I will be okay. This is our realm of existence. They really do have to play by our rules, but people don't know that. So they give over the power. Or if you bring in fear, yeah, you're going to call in the dark stuff. You bring in anger, you're going to call it in. But it's a beautiful gift. It doesn't have to be a curse. I can see you're intuitive. You've got the blood. So don't let the bad ones come in.
I taught myself like I was between the age of 16 to 18 years old, just kind of the cut it off. But it's not that easy sometimes, you know, especially, you know, when you're like, oh, let's go out ghost hunting. Let's not. Oh, come on. It'll be fun. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, that's just my personal experience, you know.
Yeah. And I'm the opposite. I'm the one. Let's go. Let's see what we can find.
I mean, be smart, use protections, just like with everything, you know, right. Whether it's a sigil or a symbol, or you're working with a certain kind of oil or herb.
Well, I do have a bottle of holy water.
There you go. Yeah, that's great.
It has stumbled into my hands one day and it's full. I haven't used it yet, but I've got a full bottle of holy water blessed by the Pope.
That's awesome. And just in case you need it, I'll work within every belief system. Like my favorite, my best protection is actually Norwegian. It's a sigil or a symbol. You know, you wear a cross, you wear a Star of David.
Right.
This little, my helm of awe. I do all this stuff in my book too. Mm-hmm. This will protect you from anything. I draw this and put it on a post-it under my like welcome map. It keeps out burglars and bad ghosts.
Oh, wow. Yes.
I wear a little symbol of it. Like when I'm going on to really dark and scary investigations, it's like sacred geometry. Energy goes in and then just blows up in a million things, and just having nightmares or whatever, put it between the mattress and the box spring. Kids having nightmares, really protective for kids.
Actually, I was watching one of your videos and I saw that on one of the shirts you were wearing, and I was like, oh, that's, I wonder where that is. Or I'm
helm of awe. Yeah,
yes, I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, it's just my own personal experiences. I mean, you know, I don't know why it is, but we've all grown up in a haunted location, whether it was a trailer, a house, a car, you know, that would just have that negative energy. And like I said, I just got to a point when I was like 16, I found a way to block it all out. A few years back, I'm like, okay, it's time for me to open it back up again. You know, I was watching the house on horror. Rodney McDowell was playing a psychic who had cut himself off for such a long time. And he briefly dropped his guard and screamed. And I'm like, bingo. That's exactly what I felt that day when I shut everything off. And so I'm like, okay, let me go ahead and open it up a little bit and try to control it best as I can.
That's one thing that I had told you before, is that by just completely shutting yourself off and ignoring it or being afraid of it, you're giving the power to that side. Whereas, like she said, if you, you know, kind of embrace it and say, okay, this is what I'm going to allow you to do, and you're not going to hurt me, you're not going to terrify me, then that takes the power back in a sense. Yeah.
And you only letting go. And if, when you have the gift, you know, some spirit wandering by, good spirit. Most are good, actually, unless you're going to the insane asylum and say, but if you're a spirit walking by or whatever, disembodied, whatever, or a shade or an element, they're going to look at your neighbor's house and go, oh, they're asleep. You're going to look at your next neighbor's house and say, oh, they're a skeptic and they're dumb. They're going to look at your house and go, oh, they can sense me. And they're going to stop there. Mm-hmm. That's why you do warding and you do protection. You guys, if you were here right now, I would just hand you my book. This whole thing, world's simplest book, but it's just how to clear your house, how to talk to the dead. It's just matter of fact, simple. Here, it's for you.
Gee, thank you.
It's read it now. No, it's ebook, audiobook, print book, yes, but no, it definitely just shows how easy it actually is. It doesn't have to be scary at all.
Yeah. Like you were saying about them walking by and saying, oh, you could see me. I once had a friend tell me that being a medium or being sensitive is like being around deaf people and knowing sign language. It's like once they realize, oh, you can see me, you can talk to me. They don't want to leave you right. alone. They get all excited.
Right. It's the same thing. It is the same thing. You have to have an on-off switch. I'm going to the grocery store now. I don't want to talk to anybody's dead mother or the ghost in the produce department. Mm-hmm. Off. Then when you tune it on, it's that much stronger because I work on lifting the veil and stuff. And then you get fancy. You can have a dimmer switch in the middle. But, you know, that is my saving grace. Mm-hmm. And it separates, like in witchcraft, what I do, it's like you have your broom, not your Barbie broom, but your real broom on this side of the world. It's the mundane world where you, you know, go to work and you pay your bills and you do all that. Over here is the world, magical world, where angels and ghosts and spirits and fairies live. The more you separate the two, the better both worlds get.
Interesting. I had a thought and it just went right out of my head about that. I can't remember what it was now. Dang it. Don't you hate when that happens when it's like, oh, I've got this great thought and I'm going to say it afterwards. And then, yes.
What I used to always say is like, okay, put it on your tongue, lick your finger, touch your head, comes back.
Interesting.
It works oftentimes. Your saliva is your again, it's that's power. Your breath is your life force, your pneuma. The moisture in your breath is your free will. It'll bring it back. Magic, you guys. The world's magic.
Oh yes, definitely. I've always believed that. Even like you said, coming from a Christian background, I've always believed that there's more to it than, like I was saying before, that we're supposed to know. And I definitely believe that there's more out there than just, okay, well, this is our world and this is the way it's supposed to be. And which now I remember what I was going to say.
See?
I've always imagined the spirit world or heaven. I don't know if you, there was a movie that came out in the 80s called, help me, Rick. It's one of our favorite movies, Made in Heaven. Is that it?
No, you're talking about the one with Sarah Jessica Parker and Robbie Benson.
No, I'm thinking about the one where the guy dies and he meets the girl. She's in, like, he goes to heaven and he meets the girl and she's like a new soul and they fall in love and then they have to come back to earth.
Heaven Can Wait?
No, that's a
different one.
I think it's called Made in Heaven, but it's just a beautiful movie. And what I love about it is I've always pictured, because in that movie, heaven or like the other side of the veil, you can just think of somewhere and you can be there. And so that's how I picture it really being, is like, you're free to come and go as you please. You know, you can go and visit your loved ones who have passed just in a thought. And to me, that's always seemed very.
That seems to be. And I've been talking to my whole life because there's no time and space on the other side.
Right.
You know, if there's that's no time and space, they could be hanging out, watching the grandkids grow up and fishing and, you know,
right.
And in the heavens. Yeah.
Right.
I kind of picture my father, my grandfathers on both sides, and my great grandfathers all kind of sitting in a bar, at the bar itself, just laughing and joking and telling stories, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're the same. You just don't have a body anymore.
Yeah.
Your body, your soul, your spirit, you know, this, the hile, the flesh, that goes away, but nothing dies. Science has proven that.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I like what you're saying about it being no time and space, because I remember I was listening to somebody else the other day and somebody had asked him about, well, if there's a spirit world, how can there also be reincarnation? And he's like, well, because there's no time and space. The way he explained it, I can't really get the words, but basically he's like, our spirits are living there as we are living now. And it was really interesting the way he explained it, but it actually made a lot of sense how there could possibly be reincarnation as well as being an afterlife and a spirit life and heaven and all of that.
Well, yeah. Then of course I'm on the fence where the great and wonderful philosopher, my sister knows, her husband, Mercy, says, I believed in reincarnation. I'd be the guy that says I didn't believe in reincarnation.
No. You always get this wrong. He says, I don't believe in reincarnation, but if I was reincarnated, my past life wouldn't believe in reincarnation either. So
that's funny. my best philosophy, I study religion, I study philosophy, is going back to the ancient Sumerians who believe you went to the heaven you believed in, sort of, which is like, if you're going for the pearly gates of heaven, mm-hmm. you're going to get that if you're reincarnation. But if there's no time and space, you get it all. I knew, I believe in reincarnation, and I was told who mm-hmm. I was in another life. And it's like, yeah, yeah. I actually start out everything very skeptical because it's just right. better that way. Right. Yeah, yeah. This was way back in the 80s. Yeah, everybody's Cleopatra. Sorry mm-hmm. about my Willow. She's I'll just get close to the mic. But okay. So I'm her. I found her house. It's right by my house. It's in the Hollywood Hills. Didn't have the address, and I knew every inch of that house. I've been in it time and space. I was at 5 minutes, 5 hours. But all of a sudden, okay, I'm her. I'm buying into it. We have these mm-hmm. exact lives. She was born. She died at 30. I was born 30 years later. And I didn't die at 30. I came into my power. Coincidence, all this stuff. And then, so, okay, I'm her. I got it. Life parallels. And then she came to one of my seances. It's like, what the?
Wow.
How does that work? But if there's no time and space, it's like, hi, you're me, you. But, and besides that, I think with reincarnation, you just get essences of, you're not mm-hmm. that whole person. You get karmic lines and essences of, and lessons and parts of, pieces of. So maybe there is a little bit of Beethoven and all those kids who can do music and, you know.
Right.
Well, I was actually born on his 200th birthday.
Right.
Yeah.
December 16th, 1970. He was born December 16th, 1770.
That's awesome. Yes. Wow. Yeah.
And it's interesting you say that, because he's always referenced that his entire life about how, and been a huge fan of Beethoven and the fact of being born on his birthday. So
I celebrate it with him.
Isn't that cool? And how did I even pull that out of the air?
No. Right.
Because he's there.
Yes. Right. Yeah, definitely. No, I believe all of that. Like I said, growing up Christian, I've always still believed that all of this is out there. And I remember one time I was asking about the afterlife and stuff. And the guy is like, oh, well, we're not supposed to know about that. We're not supposed to think about that. God doesn't want us to know about that. And I'm like, if you get these thoughts or these intuitions, they're coming from a higher power, in my belief. And I like what you said about what you believe in this life is what you're going to get in the afterlife. Because I'm also a firm believer in that fact of people see God or religion or whatever for what suits them and what fits them and what's best for them. And who are we to say, oh, well, you're going to hell because you don't believe in my God. It's like, if we have a loving God, why would he be like that?
Right. It's all a template. It's a whatever one you that works for you. It's a roadmap. So, right. And Jesus, there's nothing that I do or believe in that conflicts with Christianity. There is what mm-hmm. conflicts with the church. Man mm-hmm. took over. If you really go into Christianity, mm-hmm. they took out reincarnation in the 1500s or 1600s. Mm-hmm. It was all to control man. Of course, man's going to go, no, you're not supposed to think about that. No, wait for this. Jesus didn't teach that. Christ mm-hmm. didn't teach that.
Exactly.
That's the men. So that's what's right. fun about studying all this stuff. But it's, if you look at your belief system, it's you, who's to say to get from my house to Roswell, New Mexico, to get to your house in Texas, who's to say there's one way to do it? You might want to walk, you might want to fly, you might want to drive, you might want to, you know, it's, mm-hmm. but there is basic universal truths in all of them. Again, the names have been changed. It, to me, right. it's like, it's just whatever template you use, like you put mm-hmm. a template on your computer, and it's to be a roadmap for you to navigate life. And then if you want to work on the other side of the veil, for you to navigate the other side of the veil or to navigate afterlife.
Exactly. And that's what I've always believed. I'm always telling people religion is man-made. It's got to be what feels right to you in your heart, the path you take. And like you said, it's different template for everybody. It's beautifully said. And
well, I'm also reminiscent of On a Pale Horse by Piers Anthony, when death meets an atheist. And as he's trying to claim the soul just dissipates in his hands. This guy didn't believe in anything. So he won't be back.
Mm-hmm. And yes. One of my favorite books. I love that book.
You go where you believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rick, you look like you were going to say something there.
Give us a basic philosophy of what you personally believe in all the Wiccan, the Nordic, the pagan, that sort of thing.
Yeah, again, I think it's in the blood. I was raised without any kind of religion or belief system. My mom would have been a regular Southern Protestant. My dad would have been Jewish. My grandfather came from Turkey. My grandfather, though, was this big philosopher, doctor in Turkey, psychoanalyst, hung out with the Hollywood set, as my dog goes again. But he was practically evangelical, atheist. He did not believe in anything. But my grandfather studied religion, wrote about religion and sex. He was way ahead of his time. I would drive by a church or a temple or a mosque or a synagogue or a park and see the energy and in the people, and I wanted to go in, but it's like, ooh, that's a dirty word, that religion thing, that God thing. I think I was 13 when I was brave enough and I wanted to go to just a regular church. There was some cute Christian rock band playing. I was 13 and there was a really hot Christian rock band, and I had to get up my bravery to ask my mom, could I go to church, like Friday night church with a girlfriend? Like, is, you know, I would have felt safer going, can I go to an orgy? Can I go to a rave? I mean, maybe not an orgy, but she goes, yeah, you can do anything you want. I'm like, I could do. So I became a seeker, but opposite from my grandfather, where I see the truth in all of it. I see, okay, you like this Asian, you want a Buddhist philosophy, you want a Taoist philosophy, you want a more chaotic philosophy. So I just started studying and taking parts of all of them. And now I even read my grandfather's atheist books and I go, oh, grandpa, you believe the same thing I do, only use different words. You use academic words and science words and philosophical words versus religious words versus spiritual words versus pagan words versus, and the pagan path for me is just because it was born. Like I said, when I was a kid, I would be in the backyard. I communicate with animals, rocks, trees, spirits, sea fairies. I would know that stuffing from the garden rosemary and mint into my mom's wallet would help bring her more money years before I would get books on such things and working, you know, an apothecary. And I just like the idea of taking charge of your belief system versus because somebody tells you so, a little bit more shamanistic, a little bit Gnostic, where you find that spirit within. So that just, I tried all of them, really. It's like, oh, that's to this, that's to that. Then I remember 80s, it was like, oh, real new age and Shirley MacLaine. But that's a little fluffy pink chiffon-y for me. And I found a more pagan path, starting out very Wiccan. I don't even consider myself a Wiccan, because I do a lot of chaos magic. I do a lot of thelemic. I do a lot of ceremonial. I do a lot of Eastern stuff. I do Christian stuff. I do Jewish stuff. I'm a witch. I claim that, because to me, a witch can mean religion, or it can mean a practice. You could be a Christian witch. I know a lot of Christian witches, because you don't have to take on, a witch doesn't mean your philosophy. There's a god and goddess, there's whatever, or you work the moon cycles more than, I mean, the planetary cycles, you know, and it's early man. It's like Yule is Christmas. It's when you go under. It's Easter is Ostara. That's where the eggs and the bunnies come from, not from Christ. It's from the earlier. Right. Pagan, everybody knows that, but it just worked for me because it's like, okay, I don't want to make somebody else responsible for my being good. I don't want somebody to just tell Jesus to forgive me or five Hail Marys to make it okay. I want to be responsible. If I'm bad, I pay the consequence of my bad, you know?
Right.
I don't want to be victim and I don't want to be a sheep. I don't want to be a lamb of God. I want to work my reality. So I just found a more pagan path. You know, I could still sit in church and I do on occasion, but I'd rather go to the forest and dance around, you know, put a cloak on and dance around with drumming, you know, it's fun.
Right. No, I definitely get that. I see a lot of that in my mom. But she grew up, her grandfather was a Baptist minister. So she was definitely raised in the church, but she is more not your average Christian. She doesn't really go to church anymore, but she still prays and everything. But she is one to go in nature. She loves trees. She says in her former life she must have been a druid because she's all about trees and animals. So
all three of us, my brother, my sister, and I, are people that like to walk around outside without shoes on.
Yeah, that's called earthing. Yeah, you know what New Agers do it, and you're going to get the energy on that, and people don't do it anymore. My little book, that's what it's about to me, getting back to nature. If you're not feeling grounded, go hug a tree. You know, if you can't hug a tree, or get barefoot on the dirt or grass. You know, if you can't do that, you're in a building, grab a pencil. This little pencil still has the spirit of that tree, or grab a rock or a crystal or a diamond or the granite countertop. Touch into nature, follow moon cycles. You know, we are almost 60% water. Our planet's almost 70% water. And we always say, oh, the crazy full moon, the police station will tell you, the hospital. What if we tap into those moon cycles? What if every full moon, which we have right now, you know, right now, full moon, be in gratitude, get outside if you can. Thank whoever you thank, God, your higher self, deity, the moon. Thank you for everything you have. And ask for what you want. Every belief system says to ask, whether you call it prayer or manifestation or affirmations or spell working, whatever you call it. So thank you for this, and ask for that. The next 2 weeks while the moon is waning or getting smaller, that's the tides are, that's when you let go of what you don't need anymore. I'm not going to worry so much. That's when you go on a diet. That's when you quit smoking. That's when you, I'm going to cut down whatever it is. It'll be 10 times easier on the waning moon. On the dark moon, the new moon every month, that's when you go inside and contemplate, whether it's a big old meditation or prayer, or just like, what do I want now? Not what did I want last month? Not what does the world want for me? That's the inner work. That's the dark moon. And then the next 2 weeks, while the moon is waxing or getting bigger, that's when you add into your life more fun, more lunch with your girlfriends, more working out, whatever that is. All of a sudden, if you just tap into your 60% water body, your tides, all of a sudden, the good stuff in your life gets better, easy, with grace and ease of the moon. That, not bad or good, but the stuff you don't need anymore starts falling away with grace and ease. We've gotten away from it. So it's like connecting that, connecting back to nature, back to elements. Doesn't have to be a religious choice at all. It's just, we are of this earth right now. We are on this little planet.
Yes. Speaking of the moon, I did hear, I didn't get to see it, but I heard we had a very interesting lunar eclipse last night.
Yes, we did. Like 600 year thing. I've got this great picture. Talk about the man in the moon with the eclipse. It's got this guy with the big nose and the shit. It's beautiful. I didn't even take it. My friend took it. It's beautiful. Oh. Yeah. Yes. And then today is this powerful full moon. So yeah, this is, you know,
yes.
Use the energy. It can make people angsty and crazy and angry or productive. Your choice. Energy is energy. It's how you direct it.
That makes a lot of sense, because yesterday and today I've been feeling, I have anxiety, and it has been in overdrive the past 2 days. And I can't really figure out why, because everything's, other than my water heater, everything is going so good in my life right now. So why was I so anxious?
Well, it's the moon. Again, you're 60% water. Also, again, I'm handing you my book. I have these 30-second exercises in there, and they get rid of anxiety completely, really. If you put your whole, if we're going to go back to the earth way of being, again, doesn't have to conflict with religion, put your whole life into the four elements, air, fire, water, earth, like Wiccans, like pagans, like your earth is who you are. That's your persona. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's Kim. She's this. What a nice one. Yeah, that's your earth. Your fire is your passion, creativity, love, sex, God, whatever that is. That's north and south in the elemental compass. Every religion works a compass. That's who you are. Who you are, your persona, and what drives you. But where we get off balance is west and east. Mm-hmm. Like an airplane going like this, a boat going like this. West is our water. It's our emotions. It's the mist of the ancestors. It's that 60%. Water has to flow, not stopped up, stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the air, the east, is our thought process. Think air, thought, focus, clarity. So if you put your whole body into air, fire, water, earth, it's who you are, what drives you, your emotions and your thoughts. Emotions and your thoughts. And where do you get off balance most of the time is your emotions and your thoughts. What do you need to survive more than anything? Water and air. Water and air. So if we take that basic philosophy of mind, body, spirit, that 20,000 books are written on, self-help books, psychology books, spirituality books, mind, body, spirit, in witchcraft is called creation working dispatch, but it's mind, you'll never surpass your own thought pattern. Psychology is a solid one-third at least. Mind. I could never do that. No, now you can't. I could be a billionaire. Yeah, yeah, you probably can't. No, mind, body. Body, you have to take action. You got to get off the couch. But the spirit that people don't get, that's the least tangible. In actuality, that's the battery that makes it happen. So if you have the thought process, you believe it, you're worth it, you're taking action, you're getting in the spirit, that actually can be done lots of ways through your religion. Go to church, go to temple, pray. That's the faith behind it. Be new age, do affirmations, do vision board, do a spell working, do a candle, work with herbs. But if you have the mind, body, spirit, you could go through your life, everything you've accomplished, you've believed it, you've taken action of some sort, and you had faith or magic or whatever behind it to make it happen. The stuff you haven't quite accomplished, something needs tweaking. You don't either really believe you can have it, you're not really taking action to have it, or you don't have that faith or magic. But if you take that philosophy to air and fire and water and earth, and you have anxiety, next time you have an anxiety, anytime, if you're not as happy as you could be for whatever reason, or you're not as productive as you can be for any reason, or most equally important, you're not as conscious as you can be, because we've all gotten numbed out. I think this whole pandemic was a great big wake-up call, but we've all become zombies, asleep at the wheel, phoned in, automatic pilot. We use that terminology all the time.
I look at the pandemic not as a wake-up call, but more or less a function of the fact of where we've realized what's been going on for such a long time that we need to start looking towards something else. More or less awakening is when I saw that pandemic happen.
Different word, same thing. So if you have anxiety, instead of doing what people do, you just live with it, anxiety, or some people drink, or some people eat, or some people smoke, or some people shop, or some people just live in it, or they watch it. Instead, go, which element is off balance right now? Is it my emotions that I have a fight with my husband or my wife, or somebody cut you off in the freeway? If so, that's your water element. What you need is water. Water, no matter what, just like taking an aspirin for a headache, water relaxes you and takes away emotion. Think about every time you take a shower, right? Don't you feel better?
Yes.
But you can't keep jumping in the shower, but you could always find running water, sink, a bathroom, a kitchen, a lunchroom, a drinking fountain, hose. So if you take that mind, body, spirit, and you go, oh my God, I'm so angry, I'm sad, I'm scared, I'm worried, I'm just angsty, whatever. Walk up to a sink, turn it on, set your head, whether you're talking to God or water or your own emotions, whatever, doesn't matter. Run your hands, body, underwater for 30 seconds. The second you touch the water, you've got the mind, the body, and the spirit, the water itself. The anxiety will go away like that.
Which explains why my mother loved washing dishes.
Exactly. Oh, completely. Mad, it's about washing dishes. Yes, we all have these habits that we don't know why we do it. Yes. And the other one, okay, say it's not your emotions. It's you have a chatty head. You're spinning. You can't think straight, or foggy head, whatever. Girls have hormones, boys have hormones, or just you're overthinking. You're over. That's your air element. Air is breath. Nobody breathes good anymore. We have fast breathing, always in a hurry. Mm-hmm. Just deep breathing. But if you don't have the 10 minutes to do a deep breathing exercise, I do a lot of HECO work, which is sound magic, without giving you a lesson in the form and force of sound. Mm-hmm. Vowels open the head. Vowels clear the head, period. Any vowel, any order. Think about it. Almost every sacred word is a vowel. Amen. Om. After yoga class, Native American, hi, East Indian, falling in love. Opens up this crown of illumination. So if you're going, oh my God, chatty head. I've got an important phone call. I've got to go to work. Wait, that's my air element. So 30 seconds. You state whoever you're talking to, God, your brain, the element of air itself, whatever, with this 30 seconds of deep breathing, 30 seconds of vowels, I need to call in the air element. So whether you're sitting in your car going, or om, or E-I-E-I-O with your kid, within 30 seconds, the chatter in your head will stop. The fog will lift.
Interesting.
That works too.
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
That's going to add, what does a W add? Because then you're going to get into all, because constant, those are all vowels. That's going to raise a high vibration level versus om is going to be a low vibration. I love we. That's perfect. I'm going to use it.
Yes.
And the same thing. If it's earth, you're not feeling grounded, or you're not in your body, which we tend to leave. That's the go hug a tree. That's the go get barefoot outside. That's the grab a pencil if you can. Or the fire if you don't, maybe you don't had a hot date with your honey and you're not feeling it. Or maybe, again, that is also spirituality. It's the Holy Spirit. Maybe you want to talk to the spirits and you're not. Or maybe you're just tired. You have all the earth in the world, but you got to get up and go, and you can't dance around a bonfire, which is my first choice. But the heka, the sound magic for fire is zzzz. Ask any 8-year-old, what does a bee sound like? Zzzz. That is the fire element. It's the lightning strike. So whether you're talking to the element of fire, Pele, the Holy Spirit, or you're talking, whatever it is, with this 30 seconds of deep breathing, 30 seconds of Z, I need to pull in the fire element. Zzz, within 30 seconds, you'll feel a tingling in the base of your spine. It'll go up your spinal cord. And within 30 seconds, you'll have the fire or passion or creativity or energy, whatever you need to do. Those four things could get, I've seen people get off meds for anxiety. We have been given God, universe, aliens, whoever, every tool we need right here. We just forgot.
That's amazing. Cause I love water. Like you said, taking a shower is the most relaxing thing for me, being at the beach, listening to the waves crash. And then I also have ADHD. So I have that chattiness in my head 24/7. So
water and air. Yes. Yeah. And you try it. Just try it.
Definitely.
You'll go like, wow, it works. It's so easy. We tend to make things hard. Things are going to be easy.
Yes, definitely.
Like I said, our mother, is when it comes to natural, she's the one that taught me the we. Whenever she was mad at something, she'd get there and she'd start washing dishes.
It's amazing how we naturally do this stuff. We don't even know what we're doing, but we do. Yes.
My mother is just, I don't know how she was taught, but she, like you said, knows these things, you know, and it's just natural for her to do these and teach myself and my sister and my brother these things. And we didn't realize it until much later in life, but she was teaching us, you know.
Right. Yeah. And I think it does go back to the gifts she was given, because like I said, she was raised. Her grandfather was a Southern Baptist minister. So her dad was, you know, very
strict.
Yes. Thank you. So for her to, like you said, naturally know these things and go against in her practices what she was raised, I mean, it had to come from the instincts.
It's in us. Just like animals have it, we have it too.
Yes. So I know you've done a lot of different things, have been on a lot of different shows and stuff. What is one of your favorite experiences that you've had?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. I love when I see, because my gig really is about empowering people, because again, we just give our power away so much. I like when I'll go on what seems like silly shows. I work with a lot of teens and stuff like that, and you know, whether it's a silly show like Bad Girls Club or Nicole Richie we're working with here, and it's like, well, you don't have to fight all the time. What? No, let's do this here. And this, what? And these little light bulbs go on. Mm-hmm. My work keeps getting younger. I still do, of course, all the paranormal stuff with Zach and the guys. And I've been working with the TFI. I went from the 40s guys into the 20s and 30s guys. Then I've been working with Awesomeness, and they're the 17 to 20 guys. This last couple of week, I've been shooting with this adorable, just turned 14-year-old, Gavin Magnus. Got a whole music career and all this. I just love it, working with people. But I think my funnest thing is how I've used manifestation to I did it the first time just to prove that we are powerful beings. I had health issues. My mom took a drug that they gave in the 50s and 60s. I talk about it in my book, to pregnant women, and it messed us up when we hit puberty and didn't hit puberty right. Okay. So does she have every autoimmune disease known to man? Does she have lupus? We don't know. Fibromyalgia? We don't know. Never had a period. Instead, I went menopause at 15. So I was nine and 50 at the same time. Victim. And at 30, that reincarnation, and I was told that if I made it to 50, which I probably wouldn't, but if I made it to 50, I would probably have every cancer, cervical cancer, this cancer, that cancer, breast cancer. If I did, I would at least be in a wheelchair. And I was a dancer, wheelchair, because I had 5 fractures in my back already from having osteoporosis from age 16. And I kind of went, no, I believe in magic. I believe we're powerful creatures. I mean, I'm take whatever medicine they say, but I'm not going to live into this diagnosis, this prognosis. Mm-hmm. I haven't been sick since. And so at 50, instead of being dead or in a wheelchair, I'm like, how do I show people how amazing we are? I'm no more amazing than anybody else. So being in Hollywood, I tried out for that TV show Wipeout. the world's largest obstacle course, the big balls.
Oh, yes. So
I did. I totally played the thing. And I beat like 80 or 100,000 people. And I, scariest, wow, hardest, most painful thing I've ever done. But I did it. I got on Wipeout. And that's so addicting. It's so scary. It's so hard. I'm like, look at what I did. I'm not dead. I don't have cancer. I don't have every immune. I know. Mm-hmm. We are powerful. And I go, oh, this is fun. What else can I do? Show people. So I, then I'm like, okay, well, they won't really let me in the kitchen. I got kicked out of home ec in high school. My husband doesn't let me cook. I'm going to cook for Gordon Ramsay. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm going to do. So I tried out for MasterChef. I beat another 80 or 100,000 people. I'm at, wow, like the LA Convention Center with 5,000 people. They're saying, mm-hmm, next thing I know, you know, 6 months later, and I go, any second, they're going to figure out I'm on MasterChef cooking for Gordon Ramsay. Magic, mm-hmm, works. Belief works, all manifestation works. So, I mean, I didn't last long because I really don't know how to boil water. He's afraid of ghosts, by the way, Gordon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he is. Because you're sequestered for weeks before you ever even get on. You don't have your phone. You don't have, right, anything on competition show. So, and then I'm like, oh, this is really fun. It's so scary. I like that. Embrace what life is. I'm like, okay, yes, I'm not right. I did the physical. I did the cooking. Not the cooking. What am I really not right for? And I'm like, America's Got Talent. I have no talent. Not that kind of singer, not a dancer. Mm-hmm. So I decided to try out for America's Got Talent. Again, they tell you 80 to 100,000 people you, mm-hmm, have to beat. Next thing I know, I'm rolling around on the Dolby Theater with Howie Mantel, psychically reading his. It was a big crash and burn from the beginning, but exactly what I wanted it to be. Yes. And just doing that, whether it's the world's silliest television show or something serious and good, or I like talk shows, I'm on with George Dorian guy and really teaching things, or like, that's why we started the school. But it's just letting people know that life is pretty friggin' amazing and life is completely what we make it. And we are powerful. That's it.
Yes. That's amazing. I'm one who, again, my mom took a drug like that back in the 70s. And so I ended up with a lot of female issues once I hit my hormones, and now, mm-hmm, I have fibromyalgia and all these other issues, but like
they,
you said,
go away.
Yes.
If you believe you can, you can.
That's amazing. Yes. And I'm one who, with my anxiety, I've always been afraid to go after the things I want and to hear the things that you've done and succeeded at. It's just,
I was that person. I was scared, yes, to death between 15 when they figured out about the puberty thing, mm-hmm, and 30, I was scared of everything. Mm-hmm. Well, I was also a victim. I gave up being a victim.
Yes. Well, also, Kim, we wouldn't have thought we could get the Skeptic Sidekick back up and running, but here we are interviewing Miss Negri.
This is true.
See what you did? See what you did?
Yes.
See? The power in us.
Yes.
Which is why I always compliment you and tell you how wonderful you are, because you really are.
Yes. We tried to do this about 10 years ago or so, and conflicting conflicts, we never got it off the ground. So this year we're like, let's just go for it. And like I said, the paranormal has been something I've been passionate about since I was a kid. I've always wanted to go ghost hunting for real, not just what I thought was ghost hunting as a child, and really get into that field. So the fact that here we are, like you said, doing this show and being fortunate enough to have you join us. Yeah, that's, shows the power of manifestation intention. And intention. Yes,
exactly. Whatever you call it. So you guys, thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, yes, not a definitely. Problem. Would you like to go ahead and tell us where we can find you on the World Wide Web?
Yes, on the World Wide Web. My home base would be pattinegri.com, pattinegri.com. I have my YouTube channel there. I'm on, of course, all the social media. Patty Negri Psychic Medium on Facebook, not the one with the slash, the one with the blue check, because there's a lot of fake me's. Instagram, it's patty.negri. Twitter, it's Patty Negri. My Paranormal, my podcast is called The Witching Hour, and it's on Apple, Spotify, all the usual places. And my home base is myparanormal.net, my paranormal network. And then my school, University Magica. So all sorts of great things coming up. I'm on the road a lot, so I'm all over the country pretty much all the time. So yeah.
And the book you're suggesting
Old World
to
Magic
us?
For the Modern World. Yes. Yeah. It's the world's simplest book. World. I honestly spent more time unwriting it than writing it on purpose, which is why it's like a bestseller in 5 countries, because it's easy and it's fast. And you go, oh, how to talk to that? Oh, how to do this? Oh, how to help? Oh, so yeah. And you could get that on Amazon in print book or ebook or audiobook. And on my website, you can get it in just print.
Great.
Available everywhere. So you guys, so yes. Thank you again. I wish you all the best with this.
Coming up onto our show. We appreciate everything you've revealed to us. And anything you want to add, Kim?
Just usual for our listeners, if you have any ideas for the show or any comments that you'd like to leave for us, you can always email us at info@skepticpsychic.com, or you can also join us on our Facebook group, The Skeptic Psychic. We also ask our listeners to rate us on Apple Podcasts and review us. Reviews do help us go up in the ranks. So if people are looking for paranormal shows, they'll be able to find us easier. And we do read reviews online. I'm sorry, on air. I always say online, but we do read them on air. And that's about it on my end. Anything you'd like to add?
Just that I'm grateful for the fact of being down here in my secret bunker here in Roswell, New Mexico. I appreciate everything that's been going on this past year and really looking forward to 2022.
Yes, same here. And Patty, it has been such a pleasure speaking with you. I'm so glad and fortunate you agreed to join us on the show, and we'd love to speak with you again sometime.
You got it. Thank you so much. Have a good night, everybody.
You too. Good night.
And unpleasant nightmares, everybody. And take care.
Sweet dreams. Good night.